Alan Kring Productions, in association with the Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240 for Spring Semester 2023. Today, the time value of money. Wednesday of next week, we'll have a surprise quiz, so please be surprised by it. And I'm building as I can, as quickly as I can, and I will also release the answers for the quiz you just took. Building the basis for your study for the final exam, this kind of helps, because these quiz questions oftentimes, either directly or a variation of them, shows up on the midterm exam. So that'll help you out a little bit right there. But anyway, starting out with a quick look at the numbers, and we do have No matter how hard you try, that thing is going to embarrass you sooner or later. Okay, madam, a bull day or a bear day?
Bull.
Bull, yes, this is a real bull day. See, that bull wasn't lying. And as you can see, this is kind of just a classic day. The Dow is up, but it's not up as much as the S&P 500, which is a riskier portfolio, and the NASDAQ is up the most. And it's just like a classic kind of day, and it's a decent, strong day. This is, as you can see, there's a sustained upward push on it. It's not just one thing. Well, there was something that got the markets really excited there at the beginning, that pop, but then it just keeps going up because there's more and more positive sentiment coming in over right now. And you notice that things, world events like those, you know, the brouhaha about those spy balloons, that kind of stuff, the earthquakes in Turkey, they're not doing anything to, they don't seem to be doing anything to deter the optimism of the market right now. That's why you always have to be cautious when you think that some event, news event, is going to have some impact on markets. They generally are looking for expectations of future events in the financial markets, in the economic news, in the behaviors, in the plans of the Federal Reserve and all that. They don't really respond all that much to news unless it's something really big and has significant impact on the markets. Crude has found its wings today a little bit. It was down through the day, but it had a spike just in the last couple of hours. And I mean, that's going to happen. The price of gas should be coming down one way or the other. But crude is kind of volatile right now, but not terrible. Gold is down, and so is silver. Yeah, silver is down too. So there's no money money is not running to those. It is, if you can see here, the 10-year bond yield, the benchmark, is down, yield down, which means price is up. So you have investors putting money into equities, and then they're also putting money into bonds as well, as the bond prices are, can I possibly find, where the hell are they? Okay, let's find out what's the right side. There it is. Okay, so money is going into equities. Money is going into bonds. So that tends to mean that there is an overall good sentiment in the market, and gold and silver are down, which is a good sign, because you don't want them going up, because that's investors running away from traditional financial assets. And then going over here, looking, Tokyo just had a down slide right off the bat, and then it had another one about an hour later, And then it just barely crawled up a little bit by the end of the day in Tokyo. Come over here to London, and they were in a good mood. And interestingly, that good mood, see that rolling upward there at the end of the trading? Well, they're near the end of their day, too. They're still trading. It's near the bell. But you're seeing that they are, London is optimistic. The U.S. is optimistic. So that just means that everyone's in a really good mood right now. And what are the reasons for that? Well, the same as they have been. We tend to see the markets on most days going up. It is a bull market right now. No, there is not some recession going on. No, there is inflation. Yes, inflation is coming under control. And there are jobs out there. Manufacturing is doing strong, doing a good job right now. So it's just a good day. And it's a good market right now overall. Now, that doesn't mean that it'll stay good if some bad thing happens. If we, there's no real prospect of a war with China over these idiotic balloons, but we still have some concerns. And there are rumors, there are always rumors of military action in Eastern Europe, but that's scuttlebutt. So for the most part, it's a good day. Looking at a couple of stocks just to see what's going on. And again, I'm doing this to reinforce what I will expect you to know for the midterm, how to read these stocks. I had a trader this morning. This is a company that was in the hustle for a vaccine, a COVID vaccine a few years ago, Sereno, S-R-N-E. And it made it up to, I think, $12 a share. It was just amazing. They had released, they had done a press release. We may have a positive trial results from our COVID vaccine. So the market just pounded that stock upward. I made a darn good coin on it. And then they fizzled out. And I had a trader early this morning. We were laughing because we had all gotten out in time. And he said, Sereno is now at 56 cents. Oh my God, it's collapsing. Yeah. As you can see, sometimes these high-flying stocks, especially if they're NASDAQ, these tiny high-risk companies, they can go up, you can make a fortune, but if you don't get out in time, then you can lose your shirt on these. And that's what happened with Sereno. If you look at its five-year, that was the spike that it had up there. See what I mean? And then it just fizzled out, and it's dying now. So you have to, the beta of 1.94, yeah. It has, by the way, I don't know if I've mentioned this. The P.E. ratio will say not applicable if earnings are negative. Okay? It'll say N.A. if earnings are negative. That's simply because you're taking a positive price divided by a negative earnings, and it really doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. So if you see that NA, that's what it means. Also, sometimes you'll see a beta that says NA. Usually that is of a new company where we don't have enough data to do the calculation of the beta. And I'm going to show you how to calculate a beta. It's not that hard to do. But if there's not enough data, well, it's kind of like, it's the, unless you have enough data, your results don't really mean anything. And that's true in all of statistics. And so if we don't have enough values for the data points, you'll see an NA. Let me see something here. Show you one. Rivian. I don't think they have a beta yet. Yeah, see, they don't have a beta yet. They don't have a PE ratio either because their earnings are so, geez, those are really negative earnings. But they don't have a beta simply because there's not enough data on the company yet to calculate it. And you'll see that. One thing that I did want to show you, and I know I'm going to have to, no, that's not what I want. I'm trying to find barrack gold. Nope. Sometimes you will see a beta that's negative. Now that does have meaning. A negative beta is called a contrarian. C-O-N-T-R-A-R-I-A-N, a contrarian stock. In fact, you can actually buy into mutual funds that are contrarian. In other words, they put together a portfolio of stocks that all have negative betas. Now, a contrarian portfolio or a contrarian stock, the beta being negative means that it goes in the opposite direction of the market. So if you are a real bear, I mean a real bear, the world's going to hell and your dog's ugly too, I mean that's what you would do, is you would go into contrarian stocks and maybe contrarian let me see something here, and you'll forgive me for going to Google for this because I just don't do contrarian stuff myself, so I'd have to pull something up here. I'll quit it. Stop it. Contrarian stocks. Seven best. What are they saying? Now, let me say something here. Looking for a contrarian, oftentimes you'll go to gold mining stocks because they have a habit of running up when the market is going down. Plug Power, Sorrento. Well, that's not a contrarian stock. That's, in fact, that's just a stupid stock. But why would they say the Target? Well, that goes to show you, you go to the internet and find out why it's called, it's not a good idea. I'll dig up a few contrarian stocks. I wouldn't recommend them because they tend to be nasty. They're unpredictable. And but there are some who are fully, all they'll do is do contrarian because they think the world's going to hell every day. I mean, if you believe that the rapture is going to happen next week, go contrarian. You'll leave the earth with a lot of money. I don't know what it'll buy you, but, you know, there you go. Anyway, enough of that. I'm going to show you something. Time to talk about time value of money. And I had to do some extra work yesterday on this. And so, let's see, okay. Madam, turns out that you are my daughter, okay? Don't ask, I was drunk. But here's the thing. Now, I'm going to die someday. And it'll happen, and no one's going to be around except my cats, and they'll eat my corpse. But the thing, though, is that I'd like you to have $1 million. Now, you can get that when I die in 20 years, or you can get it now. Which would you prefer?
In 20 years.
You don't want $1 million now? Well, if you had it now, you could invest it and have all that extra money. Well, would you prefer to have it now or in 20 years?
I want to know.
You know, he said, okay. okay, here's the thing. This is what we call the time value of money. Future money increases. That's called compounding. Okay, you want to write that down because I always ask this on the first six, on the midterm. As the future value of money is a compounding process. The present value of money is a discounting process. Money that's going to happen in the future falls in value as it comes to the present. I can prove that to you. Watch. COPD. Now watch. This is the future. That's the present. See? It's worth less than that, in the present than it was in the future. Moving on to the mathematics of it. The heck are my markers? Oh, there's a marker. Future value. Now, this is a formula, and sometimes if it's just a lump sum of money, it's actually sometimes faster just to calculate it, use a calculator, than to use Excel or financial apps in a calculator. But it's the present value, how much you have now, compounded out, I put an equals there, compounded out at 1 plus r, that is the interest rate. And this isn't a risk interest rate. It's adjusted to the risk of the investment to the t power. Now, there's an important thing here, is that this r is not necessarily an annual interest rate. It's the periodic rate. And that T right there is not years, that's the number of periods that we're going to talk about. This is called compounding. Now I can turn this formula around and I can say that the future value divided by that 1 plus R to the T is the present value. And again, the T and the R are periodic. And this is just for a lump sum of money. Oh, by the way, you'll often see me write this formula right here, PV equals FV times 1 plus R to the negative T. That the negative exponent means that it was a division. Now, it's your call on this, but there are a couple of things that I forever am screwing up. First of all, I use this one instead of this one because dividing with parentheses, remembering to put your parentheses in the right spot, has forever been the bane of some people using calculators. So I do it this way. Now, the negative, make sure that whatever you're doing up here in the exponent is in parentheses. Because calculators, if it's a scientific calculator, it's going to take the hierarchy, the order of operations seriously. I'll show you what I mean by that here in a minute. Let me see. How much will you have in 5 years if you invest $2,500 in an account with an APR of 3.9% compounded quarterly. And I'm sure most of you have done this before in your accounting classes. You probably use tables to do this. For God's sake, don't use tables. I'll show you a couple of different ways to do this. One would be a straight-up calculator way. One would you be to use financial apps on a TI-83, for example, and the other would be to use Excel. It's your call where you want to go with it. But the one thing is for sure is that I'm going to need the parameters. I need a future value. How much will you have? So that's a future value, and we don't know that. But we're also going to need the R, and we're also going to need the T. Now the R is 0.0439 over 4. Quarterly means that it is calculated 4 times a year. If I say semi-annual, it's twice a year. Your turn. If it's monthly, what is it? How?
12.
12, yeah, okay. Now if it is weekly, that would be?
52.
You would be surprised. I have had people ask me how many weeks are in a year on an exam. And I have to be polite, you idiot, to know. Okay, let's try this one. Daily.
365.
Interesting about that. 365 days in a year, but technically, the way banks do it is they say it's 365 and 360. Wait, what? Yeah. And I'll talk a little about that. But for us right now, the number of time periods, it's quarterly. So in other words, there would be 5 years times 4 quarters per year. Now, when you're doing it in Excel, there will be a slot for each of these numbers. A little bit more complicated, if you do it on most financial calculators, you don't turn the percent into a decimal. That's just the way financial calculators are built. You would just key in 4.39 divided by 4 here, I'm sorry. That's just how they are. In Excel, oh, it is a bitch about that. It wants decimals. So I could put in 4.39% and it's okay. I can put in 0.0439 and it's okay. But if I just put in 4.39, it's not okay with Excel. Excel wants a decimal or to be told it's a percent. I'll show you all this in a minute here. And we'll do it again on Wednesday. You just keep doing this and it gets pretty comfortable. But anyway, so in other words, what I want is the future value is going to be equal to the present value here is, what did I say, $2,500? So I'm going to do 2,500 times 1 plus 0.0439 over 4 to the 5 times 4. And again, if you want to do 5 times 4, you put it in parentheses. So I'm going to walk you through 3 different ways to do it. Your call, your choice. Remember, you can have a calculator, you can use tables, you can use Excel on a quiz or an exam. There's no problem with that. I'm going to use a TI-83. You have this in your resources. I told you about how you can download it and use it if you have a PC. You can't, this virtual TI, it doesn't work on a Mac. But I'm going to do it on the TI. First, I'm going to do it as a straight up calculation. I'll let you get it, your computer. First thing I do is 2,500 times, open parenthesis, 1 plus 0.0439 divided by 4, close the parentheses, and then I would raise it to the 5 times 4. And I would get my answer. Now, here's a small thing, might or might not matter to you. Finance formulas tend to go haywire if you've put something in that's not right. You look at your answer and say, does that answer make sense to me? Well, yeah, I put in $2,500 and I just leave it at a decent interest rate for 5 years. Yeah, maybe about $3,100. If I put something in wrong, this formula is going to just have some ridiculously large number or some ridiculously small number, something that doesn't make sense. This is like an informal check on what you're doing. Okay, now I'm going to do the next one, which is that I'm going to take this into the financial apps of the TI-83. Little background. These apps were put into this calculator, and it seemed like almost an afterthought. But these apps work so easily that they have become quite popular among finance professionals for really fast calculation. Apps, finance, and we're going to use the TVM solver. That's the time value of money solver. Enter. Now the N is the number of periods, 5 times 4. And I strongly encourage you, if you're going to use Excel or financial apps, don't do calculations yourself. Just use these. Now, also, don't hit enter, just drop down. Now, the I percent. Remember I told you that financial apps on calculators, not in Excel, but in calculators, they want you to just put in the plain old percent. 4.39 divided by 4. Put this down in your notes. N is times, I is divide. N is times, I is divide. You'll use the same compounder, 4. In the N, you times. In the I, you divide. Now, what's the present value of it? Whoops, that skipped. 2,500. Now, since financial calculators started showing up in the early 1980s, they all want a negative sign on a PV. I have no idea why. If you don't put it, sometimes they'll even give you an error. And a negative sign isn't the minus sign. The negative sign should be another number, should be another key. Negative 2,500. Now, payments. There are no payments in here. There's just one amount of money. If there were payments, we would call this an annuity, and I'll do that on Wednesday. But in this one, there are no payments, so you just leave that alone. Now, always leave, they do it in some accounting classes. Leave this P over Y and C over Y at 1. Don't try to use them. They can get you into trouble. And for the time being, make sure this bottom toggle is on end. Now let's just go back up to the FV. And you just say alpha, enter. That's the solve. Well, spank me. There's the answer. Now, you might notice that in just a straight lump sum of money problem, it's kind of, you know, which way is it? The formula easier or is the app easier? The one thing you can say about the app is that you'll probably not be as likely to make an arithmetic mistake. That's all there is to it. I want you to notice something. Well, a couple of things here, but one is you get the same answer. Now, either of these ways is probably better than carrying around a bunch of tables with you all the time. Either of them would be. Now, pulling up Excel. And I really, in one way, I don't like doing this because it can be confusing seeing all these different methods, but now, generally, in a problem like this, what we do is we put in PVFV R periods years. Now the R, I should probably put that as APR. Now in this one, we have $2,500. We don't know the FV, but we do know 4.39? But you have to tell Excel that you're saying that's a percent so that it knows to use a decimal. The periods, 4 every year, 5 years. Now the future value will be equal to future value. Now you're going to put in the rate, which would be B3. I hope I'm doing this right. The number of periods, which would be four times five. I think I have to put in B3 over, I think. Payments are zero. The present value is the negative of that. I should have done that, negative of that. I think I should have put B3 divided by the number of periods. Yep. Slash 4. B4. Yeah, there it is. I apologize for that. You notice you still have to know about the times and the divide. But you also notice something else. In Excel and in the calculator, I can now change some of the parameters, the inputs, and see what the effect is. Well, for example, what would happen if the number of periods per year was increased? Or what happens if I have more years? What happens in 10 years? Well, that was weird. Why didn't it react to that? I sure did. Thank you. Like I say, a little more. Now let me take you on another little journey here. I'm going to take these. I shouldn't have done that, but it's okay. It's okay. Let's try something like this. Let's do it the other way around. You want to be a millionaire in 35 years. How much would you need to invest right now in an account paying 3.95% compounded monthly. So if I were to use the formula, the present value would be the future value, $1 million, times 1 plus 0.0395 divided by 12 to the 12 times 35 periods. Whoops, negative. I'm going to show you how you do it, straight up formula on the calculator. Then I'm going to show you how you do it in the finance apps. Yeah. Say it. Because it's a present value, and that PV formula has a negative because it's the reciprocal of it. Yeah.
Of these three options, which do you like best?
Unfortunately, I like the calculator the best. And it's simple. Look, I don't want to carry on stupid tables, and I don't always carry my laptop with me. But I always have a calculator in my book bag, provided someone hasn't borrowed it and not given it back. But I'm sorry, I've owned and lost more calculators. But it's just that basic. And you'll see a lot of the finance professionals I know. There they are with all these powerful computers, and they have Excel, and then they just reach for the stupid calculator to do it. The downside is that you don't have a document. If you need a document to show, well, here's the results of my calculations, the calculator is not going to do that for you, unfortunately. Eventually, we'll get to the point where we'll have computers that are on the scale of calculators and still have the same power. But let me pull it up here. This calculator turns off if you don't use it for more than a minute. Now, think about it. Why does a calculator turn off to save battery? Never mind. No, think about it, noobs. Yeah, we were going to run out of battery. It's on a computer that's plugged to a wall. What do you think? Okay, anyway. No, they don't. They're stoned all the time. And that's not even a joke. I can't come to work. No one had shrooms this morning. Okay. Look, watch this. The N. It's 35. Now remember, if it's the N, it's times the compoundings. The I percent, and again, all you do is put in the number 3.95, but you divide by the 12. And then here, we don't have a present value. That's what we want. So we're going to put a zero in there. We're not putting in payments along the way. All we want to know is $1 million at the end. Did I do that right? Yeah. And these one end, now we go up to the PV, alpha, solve, about $251,520 is what you need. And if you think about it, yeah, $250,000 and you don't touch it for 35 years, got a decent interest rate compounding monthly, well, there you are. Yeah, that looks about reasonable. Interestingly, this is actually probably the most straightforward way to do it. It's on a calculator, either the virtual TI or a physical TI. Now, something I want to show you here. Let me look at something here for a second. Okay, never mind. Now, again, I went and deleted those. I should have just redone them. PV, FV, APR, periods, years. Now on this one, the PV is what we don't know. The FV is 1,000,000. The APR is 3.95%. The periods, 12 per year. The years, 35. Now the PV, present value, will equal. Now I'm a little dodgy here because you can do it with PV or NPV. The rate, which would be that divided 12 up 12 times a year, comma, the number of periods, which would be, whoops, I put in a 12, and I should just use that, divided by that. Now the number of periods would be that times that. And the payments would be none, and the future value is B2. And I'm not completely sure that I can do it this way on the Excel they have here. We'll see. Yeah. And notice it comes in as a negative. PVs go out as negatives, they come back in as negatives. And I don't know why that is, but it is on calculators and in Excel. Once you get the hang of these formulas, I mean, I'm not a master of Excel by any means. There are these cats who can just whip this stuff in at high speed. One thing I will mention to you is that sometimes a calculator like the TI-83 and the Excel will give you slightly different answers, slightly different. And never quite figured that out. But on a quiz or an exam, I give, there's a way, take any answer that is between this number and this number. And I do that. It's not a wide range, but it's enough so that if you, one or the other will still get you the right answer. And also, if you make a little mistake, you'll get the right answer too. But that's how you use Excel to get a future value. So if you're trying to become good at Excel, maybe Excel is the best way to do these homework problems. Now, there are some pretty awesome things you can do in either of these calculators. But I'll show you some of those in a minute here. But that's Excel and what it can do for you in these problems. And notice how when I do these problems, I do as much as I can without reference to putting numbers in it. And I made a mistake and did one in the last. Notice here I actually did a zero right there. I could have just put in payments and put a zero there. And then I could have completely removed all of the numbers from the formula. That is one of the things that we see as you becoming more of an Excel expert, is when you put all of the numbers somewhere else and then reference them when you do the formulas. One advantage of that is, of course, you can change numbers as you want in it. And then you can just see new results. So for example, what would happen if the APR on the loan were a little higher, let's say 4.59%? You don't have to put in as much because you're earning more interest. Another one, what would happen if I decided that I wanted to hold on for 40 years? You wouldn't have to put in as much because it would be compounding for longer. All of those things are part of the game. Now, the compoundings. There's a problem here. Daily. Remember I talked about daily? There are 365 days in a year. Technically, and I do believe that Cengage shows this too, the book, you see the exponent where I times by the number of periods per year, the 12, the 4, and you see how I divide by the number of periods per year, 12 or 4. If it's daily compounding, you use 360 in the denominator, and you use 365 in the exponent. You're saying, wait, huh? That's how it's done. There's a reason, and I'll probably tell you that, but bore you. Let me show you. So watch. I'm going to put in a line here. I'm going to call this periods 1 and periods 2. And I'm going to put the periods 1 as the denominator, 360, and the numerator as 365. And then I'm going to go, I think I can do this in Excel. Okay. Present value. Now the rate would be that divided by the 360. And the number of periods would be the years times 365. And don't sweat it. If you're not catching this, I'm going to do it again and again. I'm going to wear you out until you get kind of the hang of it. And I'm glad to see you're actually trying to keep following me here. I'm trying to go slowly here. Comma, and your future value. Oh, payments first. You don't put any money in along the way. And comma, the future value that you want. Now, if this is confusing to you, don't sweat it. We'll do a few of these I'm just going to do one problem after another until you get the hang of it. But there you go. Now, that's actually, with the daily compounding and that strong interest rate and 40 years, you notice that how much you have to put in is actually rather low. Because in 40 years, you'll be a millionaire for putting in about $155,000. Yeah?
If we put in 365 for both, how different is the
outcome? Let's see. See our answer here? 155, 40, 5, 458. Let's put in a 365 there and see. I'm glad you asked that. About $4,000. It's enough that you notice it, enough. And it's more noticeable at higher interest rates. But yeah, it's enough to be noticeable. Now, what I'll do, and I guarantee you, if I ask a question that involves daily compounding, I'll make the answer range wide enough that you could use 365 both places, you know. I mean, this is one of those arcane things. It goes way back in the history of business, even to the 1700s and 1800s. There was a reason for that 360. The reason they give is, well, there are 360 banker's days in a year. The actual reason is that there is a mathematical trick for dividing by 360. I can't even remember exactly how it works, but it gave bankers and people on the exchanges and things like that a quick way to do daily compoundings because they knew how to do that 360 trick. And like I said, I knew it years ago, but I don't know, I can't remember exactly right now. But that was the real reason. But anyway, 360 in there. Whoops, that's not where I want it. The divisor is, as you can see, it does make a little bit of a difference. I will compensate for that so that either what answer you get, 360 in that denominator or 365, you'll still get the right answer. Okay? But that's that. Now, here's the real pain in the ass. And this will take draw you back to those dark days of high school algebra. And I'll do a future value kind of problem. You want to invest $5,000 in an account with an APR of, oh, let's say 4.09% compounded. Let's do weekly. How many years would it take to double your money? Well, this one's spectacular. And unfortunately, you have a couple of, one homework problem, I think, where they ask this. Well, it's the future value formula. So we want to have a future value of $10,000 starting with $5,000 times 1 plus the APR of 0.049 over 52 to the 52 times the number of years. And we'll call that Y, years Y. We don't know the why. Now, this the class is always quiet for these lectures, so let's keep it that way. Let's not riot when we do this, okay? Interestingly enough, we're getting into, in this area, and you'll see this a lot on Wednesday, into what's called financial planning. We have actually a financial planning major here. Is it a minor or a major? And those cats make a lot of money if they're good at selling and all that. But what we're doing here is we have people who say, well, I want to accomplish this goal and this goal and this goal through my life. New house every 10 years, new car every 5 years, whatever. And so we have to calculate how much they need to start with to accomplish those things. So this isn't that abstract. These problems are definitely not. But the problem here is that you notice you have y as an exponent. Now, the first thing that I would probably do, and I was a math teacher at Ohio State for many years, is you strip out as much as you can to get down to something that is more manageable. Well, the first thing I'd probably do is divide 5,000 by both sides to get that out of the way. So if I take 5,000 divided by 5,000 on this side, the 5,000 cancels, and I take 10,000 on the other side, and I get 2. 10,000 over 5,000 is 1 plus 0.0409. I put a, make a correction in your notes. I didn't put a zero in there. Over 52 to the 52 times the number of years. Notice, by the way, the 2 is the doubling, double. I could have just said 2 equals 1 times, but I wanted to stick to the formula. Well, here's where the pain in the ass comes in. You're solving for an exponent. Do you remember how you solve for an exponent in algebra? Yeah? You take a logarithm. That's how you do it. Logarithms were invented in the late 1600s by a fellow who didn't apparently have much on he had too much time on his hands, and so he invented this. It's actually like a, for lack of a better word, it's a trick, and he became famous for that. What was interesting was that in the late 1600s, he became barking mad, and he thought the world was going to end in the year 1700. And he said, nothing else I've ever done means anything. Everything's going to end in the year 1700. He also thought that the Pope was the Antichrist. He just went barking mad. But fortunately, he did this first. You're going to take the natural log of both sides. You could take the common log, but natural logs are everyone's toy. Natural log on both sides. Now, the reason we do this is because in logarithms, an exponent is the same as multiplication by the log. So I can actually now write the natural log of 2 is 52y times the natural log over 52 times the natural log of 0.0409. I'm talking and doing math at the formula at the same time. Like that. And I'm going to write this in very large print over here for the folks in the back so you can see this better. Write that last one down here. So in other words, I'm going to write that again. The natural log of 2 is equal to 52y natural log of 1 plus 0.0409 over 52. Now there's an end to this because I can show you a quick route, but I'm showing you how you get there first. So now this is just a number. This natural log is just a number. So I can strip those off and say the natural log of 2 is 52 times the natural log of, God, this is way too much like work. The natural log of 1 plus 0.0409 over 52. That is equal to y. God, that's a pain in the ass. And if I want to do that on my calculator, the problem is that there are so many parentheses that you have to watch out for. And the calculator turned off again. Now, to get out of the app, second quit, and that gets you out. So I'm going to take, and I've got natural log of 2 divided by, now I'm going to open parentheses, 52 times the natural log of 1 plus 0.0409 over 52, close the parenthesis. I'm going to show you something here. Now, the next couple of lectures, I'm going to be showing you some little devices and tricks, and I'll say them a couple of times. One of the problems that a lot of times when you get an error, it's because you don't have the right balance of parentheses. Watch how you do it. An open parenthesis is up 1, a closed parenthesis is down 1. So watch what I do here. 1, 0, 1, 2, 1, 0. Did you see how I did that? Watch again. 1, 0, 1, 2, 1, 0. That means I won't get an error because I have as many closed parentheses as I do open parentheses. Survey says 16 years, 0.95. Now, here's a stupid pet trick. Yeah, well, I want, how many months is that? Okay, minus the 16 years. So it's 16 years, and then I times by 12 months per year. So it's 16 years, 11.4 months. Well, okay, I want to know the number of days, so I minus the 11. And I times by 30 days. Now, if you're sick of this already, it's cool. So in other words, 16 years, 11 months, and 13 and a half days. And no, I won't ask you to do that. That was just so that you can be the life of a party or not. Now I'm going to show you an easier way, a much easier way. Apps. Finance, TVM solver, yes, the TVM solver. Now I'm going to take the I percent, I'm not in Excel. 4.09% divided by 52, and I have a present value of 5,000, but remember, present values you have to put in as a negative, negative 5,000. No payments, and a future value of 10,000. Now watch what I do here. I'm actually going to go up and solve for the N. You have to be careful because it's going to give you the N in weeks. You gave it the information in weeks, but I can say alpha solve. That's 881 weeks. Well, then I can just divide it by 52. 16 years. I think that way is easier than that way, but that might just be me. And then I'll show you in Excel on Wednesday how you can do this in Excel, too. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.